Chris, as we keep up with the Masters, I'm not jinxing anything, so I'm not saying anything, but I do have a couple picks, and one of my picks is looking good, but I'm not going to say anything yet. You know who it is, but yes. I'm not going to say anything on the air yet. You know, I showed you an AI-created Wembanyama shoe
prototype.
Is that
what that was? It was for Wemby? Oh,
yes, okay. And I have something to say, or I guess I have a question, and this is for all the hoopers or retired hoopers out there, because maybe I just made this up on my own, but I was always the type of person that when it came to purchasing a hoop shoe, I felt better purchasing a hoop shoe for a player that I felt like, not to say similar to, but
sure.
I would like to buy guard shoes.
Okay.
Like, it felt weird to me. Like, I would never buy a Wembanyama shoe.
Uh-huh.
I purchased a...
I'm trying to figure out who was your guys.
Well,
probably AI, like the answers.
But yes, yeah. But like as an adult, you don't care as much.
Sure.
And right. I bought the KDs at one point because they were at the outlet.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm wearing the Stephs because, you know, I had the Stephs, like the PGs. But I'm saying I can't buy a big dude shoe. It feels weird to me.
That's one of the strangest things I think I've ever heard in my life. I don't think anyone has ever. I could be wrong. I could be so wrong, about to get flooded with texts.
Yeah.
I have never even remotely
considered
that.
Do you like to purchase
that?
A basketball shoe? And this could be beyond basketball.
Yeah,
right. And you go beyond basketball, and it could be just guys that you like more than others. But whether it's golf or baseball, football, whatever, does it feel, you know, okay, I'm a guard, so I'm wearing, and I'll tell you what, I went to the outlet.
Yeah.
I bought a pair of LeBrons. What did I tear my Achilles in?
Oh, my God.
A pair of LeBrons.
But what about the KDs?
The KDs, he's got guard tendencies.
There you go. He plays like a guard.
He plays like a guard. I'm just saying.
I mean, I will say the logic there is not terrible. Like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, this is probably designed with someone of who's going to be doing
the
things that I'm, you know,
the Kyries,
you know,
right?
This fool cuts a lot. I cut a lot. Like, it makes sense.
That's right.
It definitely makes some sense. I just never personally even remotely for a second let that cross into my mind.
Like, what do I look like? Yeah. Would they? I don't even think they should make the Wembys in my shoe size.
They probably shouldn't.
Don't even.
That would actually be a really interesting.
Well, and if they do, it's for some 10th grader who's already my size. Or honestly, some 4th grader. I'm not wearing. Yeah. If somebody gave me a pair of Wembys, I wouldn't wear them.
I mean, not these ones that
no,
I've seen
definitely
here.
Not
these are
AIs.
Terrible. These are so.
I'm
bad.
Just saying. Here's another. Giannis.
You can wear some Foxes.
I can wear some. I will wear. Yeah. I will get some De'Aaron Foxes. Giannis.
Yeah. The
sorry.
Freaks. I honestly don't like the Freaks either that much.
The backwards Nike sign. Sorry, can't do
so
it.
So you would rock like some Starberries or something like that.
Of course
that?
I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Shaquille. Can you imagine me wearing some Shaquille O'Neals? I'll get clowned. Absolutely clowned. Definitely. Speaking of, in a couple days, I think it's the anniversary of Kobe's last game.
Ooh.
And there are 3 pairs of shoes being released. And I continue to ask people on the airwaves, who is the sneaker
Who's
connect?
The Nike plug?
Who can hook me up, okay, with some sneakers? Hopefully I don't catch these L's on the sneaker app, but I probably
will.
Who can hook me up as we continue the conversation from the 916. Our guy that we met at Fieldhouse on Monday, hey, Johnny K. One thing I would like to know is Coach Brown, does he coach by the numbers on paper or by his emotions or a combination of both? Does he lean heavier one way or the other? To me, in these losses, it seems like he has been coaching too much by the numbers and not about what has been dictated in the game. Somebody else said that on social media, and they said, now I'm getting flashbacks of Gabe Kapler and the
Giants.
I was
just about to say
somebody said Mike Brown is leaning too much into analytics.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a direct initiative from the front office to kind of, again, like we talked about yesterday, like threes are worth more than two, and when you don't have two massive scorers like Malik and Kevin Huerter, a good way of making up that point differential is by hitting a ton of threes. They did it the other day against OKC. They had a 27-point advantage just in the three-point department. That got neutralized by OKC's free throws, but the thought process is still sound, and I think they definitely are coaching more so on numbers than feel right now because, I mean, we all have eyes.
Really
we
interesting.
All have eyes. We all saw 50-whatever shots. Was just way too many. You just can't have that many. So, and, you know, De'Aaron, too. Like, De'Aaron, I guess maybe the counter is I have a tough time believing that the numbers would say that De'Aaron should take 17 threes. But even then, he shot him. He knocked him down at 41%. So, you know, that's definitely making it feel like, or it might not even feel like, it might just be that it truly is mainly about the analytics here, not so much about the Jimmys and Joes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is...
Which doesn't, I mean, you know, I don't think any fan is, you can probably more speak to how people react to this in baseball, but after
they
that Gabe Kapler situation,
they
yeah,
absolutely
I think we
it.
All know that it's just... That no fan, you can you know, in, on one hand, it led to the Giants winning 107 games mm-hmm. one season. But at the same time, when it's not working like it did that one year, it leads to a ton of frustration, and it doesn't, not a lot of logic goes into those decisions. It's all just, hey, this is how it is because this is what it says, and no ifs, ands, or buts. And that's just, that doesn't leave a gray area, which we all know is where we all pretty much live in.
The only reason I will, I guess, in a way, give Coach Mike Brown a pass is based on when the injuries happened and where they're yeah. at in the season. I don't really know how much you can switch things up. So I don't know if it's an obsession. Okay, let's play the game. Yeah, let's go based on feeling more than numbers. Yeah. What changes? You don't have guys that, yeah. they're not shooting three. They're not, it's not as if, Coach is saying, now he will talk about getting too deep into the defense, but it's not as if Davion drives to the hole and he's saying, stop doing that. Don't do that. You know what I mean? These guys yeah. are choosing to shoot threes
yes.
because that's what they're the most comfortable doing.
Yeah.
So, and that's what they've been taught to do for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think they're probably leaning into the numbers, but we're so far gone with three games left in the season.
Yeah.
I think it's less about the numbers and more about this is what we have.
That too, right. I mean, you know, you can maybe argue, and you know, people, if we're going to ask for Sasha to be inserted, mm-hmm. that's taking more threes.
Yeah, and what's so, he about to do?
Exactly. So I don't know. You know, I think that's definitely a point towards what you're talking about is, you know, I think it's just kind of is the personnel that they have out there. And if they were to throw other guys in there, if we are doing what I guess you would say is the vibes thing to do, I think that the people that they're going to put in are going to do much of the same. If Kessler Edwards comes in, he's not going to be Euro-stepping at the rim.
And
he's going to be taking threes.
And he's put in Kessler before.
Yeah.
And he's taking threes.
And he's taking threes. And Chris Duarte is going to come in, and he's going to shoot
threes.
And Sasha Vezenkov is going to come in, and what's going to happen?
Threes.
He's going to shoot threes. So, you know who's not going to shoot threes? JaVale McGee, but... That's
yeah, he
there.
Can.
So there we go.
He
if,
can,
if
and
that's
he hit
what
it.
You want, you know, that's really the, I mean, and that's the Kings bench. Like, you know, you can play Colby Jones more. Colby, I definitely think, like I said earlier, I think he makes sense to maybe, you know, add to the pick and roll game. But at this point, he's a rookie who's played a full
he
season.
He tried
of
that
Stockton
floater.
And,
I think it grazed the rim.
He's. I really like his finishing ability. I think that's where he's going to really make his mark next season. But he doesn't have the time. I mean, you know, I know they just came from practice. About an hour ago, but you know he hasn't had a lot of practice time to get comfortable with these guys. Maybe we see it more today because, you know, let's not forget Mike Brown likes to practice these guys a lot, but they have not had a lot of opportunity to practice here recently. They've had, what, 2 days off or a day in between these two games? Maybe tonight looks a little bit different because the Kings were afforded the opportunity to actually get on the court and work some things out. So I'd be surprised if it looks exactly how it looked the other day against Oklahoma City. I can't imagine that 58 threes is going to be touched ever again.
It better not be, or our phone lines.
It's going to be on fire.
Yeah,
it's going to be on fire.
And then
so.
You'd probably have Mike Brown say, you know, I think we passed up some shots
too many,
tonight.
Too many shots.
If you really look at the tape, I think we passed up
There
some
will not be
tonight.
Shots passed up if the Kings continue to not pass up shots, if you
right,
know what I'm saying.
Right.
The fans will not be passing up shots.
No, not at all. Look, I'm looking at I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox. I'm looking at Sabonis. I'm looking
it's
at
on the big dogs.
It's on the big dogs. Yeah. Are you counting Keegan as a big dog?
With this roster, you have to. I mean, with this collection of guys, he's got no choice but to be a big dog. I mean, you know, they're asking him to step up. He didn't, you know, you look at the production of the other day, 15 and 10. That's not really where you want him to be, but at the same time, took 10 threes. I think he took 15 shots or 16 shots. You know, that is where you want him to be, ideally, just a little bit more efficient and a little bit more productive and a little bit more impactful. It just didn't really feel like I can't really remember a single Keegan Murray moment from that Oklahoma City game.
Well, hopefully he taps into that huge performance he had. What was it, 47 points a while back? That would be nice great. To see. Just somebody besides the two.
De'Aaron usually kills the ball.
And that's the thing. It's Keon doing his thing. Yep. Keon and Davion, and it's just the one other guy. Because they combine to basically take care of what you're missing from Malik.
Sure.
You still need that other person, right? Because we had these conversations with Malik. You need somebody from the starting lineup. We were talking about this when Kevin Huerter was playing.
Yep.
Keegan, Harrison, and I know Keon's been helping, but you lost Malik, so you need one more person, Keegan or Harrison. Yep. We need you tonight, big fella.
Need you.
We need you tonight. Interesting conversation when we return. Bob Myers is kind of breaking down what it is GMs actually do, and we bring it all back to Monty McNair and what is going to have to be done in the summer. Also, another team looking to relocate, and this isn't baseball and has nothing to do with Sacramento. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Chris, and that's the thing when we have these conversations about teams relocating and some people maybe not having as much grace for those in Oakland, because this stuff does happen a lot. And there's been an issue with the Arizona Coyotes. I have a buddy from Arizona and he's obviously upset about this. And this is from Emily Kaplan and Greg Wisniewski on ESPN.com. The NHL is preparing a contingency that could relocate the Arizona Coyotes to Utah as soon as next season, sources told ESPN. Even though the NHL remains convinced a franchise should be in Arizona, the league is skeptical about the Coyotes' newest plan to build an arena in Phoenix, which involved Coyotes owner Alex Mrulov's bid to win a land auction in June. This stuff just never ends.
Yeah, I mean, you know, stadiums are always going to need renovating, and you know, it's a constant cycle. And I'm actually super confused as to why do the Coyotes need their own arena? Why don't they just play at Club Phoenix?
Maybe they don't want to. Here you go. The NHL has prepared a backup option that would sell the team to Ryan and Ashley Smith, owners of the Utah Jazz, in relocation move to Salt Lake City, multiple sources have said. Salt Lake trying to come up these days.
Yeah, they're like every and anybody. Yeah. We will take you. I don't care what sport. We'll do badminton, we'll do pickleball.
Ultimate Frisbee.
Mm-hmm. They don't care. They'll take whatever they can get. And it seems like, you know, it is as simple as whoever's got the pockets to do it, they'll take it. And, you know, when the A's were considering choosing Salt Lake City, they were ready to roll out the red carpet, man. They were like, you know, hey, we already have a state-of-the-art minor league stadium. We're willing to build it out. We're definitely willing to do what it takes. And, you know, sometimes that is how owners should operate, though, is, hey, I have the money to make this work. I will finance it all. Let's just do it. And, you know, this is kind of tying into what we were talking about earlier about public financing and all that stuff. At the very least, it seems like the Smith family is willing to put all of their money out front.
That's what it seems like. Yeah, so if you're a Coyotes fan, I don't know what you do. At least in Arizona, you still got the Cardinals.
Sure.
Yep. Right? You still got some other teams. Yeah. You still got the Suns. Got the Not that it makes you feel better. Too. I know hardcore NHL fans out there probably are annoyed about it. And there's always going to be something like this.
Is your buddy like an actual fan of the
Arizona guy.
I'm just curious how much they draw out there. Obviously hockey and Arizona.
How does the ice stay frozen?
You got to stop.
Pretty much my question, you know? Like, I mean, because the people there are not playing hockey, like, you know, so I don't know where the interest level, like, I could, it could definitely be. I mean, San Jose Sharks,
Salt Lake would make perfectly a little bit more sense. Yeah, a lot more sense.
But, you know, I mean, Florida's got it there first. Florida has multiple teams, I think. I mean, you know, they say they want to keep the league in Arizona, but I was just actually curious what the public interest is.
No clue.
Yeah.
No clue. But I can't imagine. I would imagine it's Cardinals, Suns,
right,
a bunch of golf.
Golf, probably.
That fills
basically
spaces 3 through 6.
Honestly, probably like the colleges too, right? Like U of A, ASU.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. Bob Myers knows what it takes to keep an organization successful, and he was talking about what a GM actually does. And I've been very hard on Bob Myers just because, you know, he's had some good breaks, right?
But
he does know what he's doing, and he is opening up, I guess, the conversation of what a GM actually does. Here is Bob Myers talking about it.
That's called fantasy basketball. Give me a percentage.
You can do that on your computer at
home.
Is that half the job? Is that a quarter of the job?
That's the assistant GM's job. Well, the hard decisions. You know, the best thing I did, or we did when I was there, was we kept it together. And they're still keeping it together because how hard that is. You can have a year or two, and you had teams that you had really good teams you were on.
So that's him basically breaking down what everybody thinks it's about, right? And, oh, you're out there, you're scouting, you're doing things like that. But it ain't really that. And really, it's the assistant GM who's more so in the weeds.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's why every time the Kings make any transaction, whether it be a signing or they trade for somebody, you're always going to hear, shout out Monty and Wes. Wes Wilcox is the Kings assistant GM, very, very highly regarded out there in the NBA space and in NBA circles. He spent some time with the Atlanta Hawks previously building out there. You know, everyone remembers when they had those five players of the month or whatever it was with, Jeff Teague and Al Horford and Kyle Korver out there. He helped build those teams, and he's done a great job of building out what we have here. But it was really interesting just to hear Bob Myers and JJ both essentially just laugh at the concept of, yeah, somebody who makes trades and signs free agents and appoints the coaches. And he's like, yeah, no, that's has 0% to do with what I actually do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just interesting as we talk here all the time about why did Monty do this? Why did Monty do that? You know, I'm not just if we want to be technical, those decisions actually do mainly come from Wes Wilcox. And as Bob Myers kind of put there, Monty is more of the, I approve, I disapprove. Hey, I think Monty has the final say in it all, but Wes is essentially going to draw it all up. He's going to do all the necessary, he's not going to hand do the scouting, but he's going to make the decision, make the presentation, show Monty, Monty gives final approval. And that's pretty much how the process goes. Which I didn't. I was not privy to the ins and outs of that.
So should we be mad at Monty or Wes?
Yes, would be the answer. Both. You're upset at both of them. If you are upset, I'm.
Monty probably said, you know, during the reason it's Monty is going to Wes during the trade deadline and saying, hey, this is what we want to accomplish.
Yes.
And then Wes saying, okay, what about this? And Monty saying, uh-uh.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, literally, Bob Myers goes on to say, like, it's sometimes your job title is literal. He is the general manager. He at the end of the day, he is a manager, and it's of every little thing, whether it be merchandising, whether it be, you know, strategies of how we're going to attack the on the floor product, the off the floor product, the marketing of everything. Mm-hmm. It is just, he has his hands and pretty much everything. You were talking about in the pre-show about how you had, you know, you just like, oh, I'd love to be an AD at a school.
Yeah, I thought I wanted to be an athletic director, and then I shadowed an athletic director and figured out that I don't want to be an athletic director.
Right, because
based on it's not
It's not
what you think.
Yeah, it's not by getting to pick what jerseys you guys have or anything like that.
Not anything like that. It's just a bunch of fundraising.
Exactly. And think of the same thing for Monty McNair. Yes, he does have say in a lot of really important decisions, the biggest decisions Monty's going to have his say in. But at the end of the day, like the signings, the getting JTA here, that's going to be a Wes Wilcox transaction. And you know, yeah, again, every time you hear a press conference from anybody, new signing, trade, coach getting fired or hired, or I guess not fired, but if you were to get hired, they're all going to say, thank you, Monty. Thank you, Wes. And that's, you know, I've always wondered, man, like they're always saying Wes, what is Wes doing? Like, is he just in the room, in having the conversation? Is he more the money guy and Monty's more the big picture guy? Turns out, no, Wes is actually just the one boots on the ground doing a lot of the work. Not saying Monty doesn't do anything, but when we talk about the transactions of this team, that's Wes Wilcox.
Going to have dog segment at 1:45, but I got a couple stories I got to run by all of you. It's been one of those weeks. Fair foul coming up next. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. All right, I have two stories before we get back into some Kings talk. We got prop talk and dog segment. And speaking of dog segment, this second story is going to tie in nicely. The first story, and Chris had some things to say. So I was supposed to get my hair cut yesterday. You know, we're talking after the show, getting ready for today's show, and I say, hey, I gotta get my hair cut. So I leave, and the barber, I get in there, and the barber is finishing somebody up, right? He's finishing somebody up, and he's running around doing different things, and 5 minutes goes by. Okay, he's vacuuming, you know, things like that. 10 minutes go by. I'm texting Chris. Actually, I didn't text Chris yet, but I'm at this point, I'm, all right, 10 minutes, you know, we had plans after, which will lead into my next story. We had plans after, and I'm just waiting, gets to 20 minutes, and I text Chris, and I say, hey, man, my barber, he's, and the other thing is he came and dapped me up, right? He dapped me up, and then proceeds to do what he's doing. Then he just goes into the great beyond. So 20 minutes goes by. And I get to 25 minutes, and I'm texting Chris, and Chris is saying, that's crazy. And I say, what do I do? Do I just act cool? I mean, this is pretty nuts. Yada, yada, yada.
May I ask for context? Has this ever happened to you before?
No.
This is your first?
No, this would only be the second time I got my hair cut by him. So...
No, but I'm saying, like, in life, you've never had this protocol
like
they're running behind.
Not this much. Maybe they're late cutting, but I can see them.
Okay.
So he daps me up. Again, he's only cut my hair one time. He did a great job. So it gets to 3:20. It gets to 3:30, and Chris is like, "Oh heck no, man! Yeah. You gotta do something." So I get up and I ask one of the other guys. I go back into the back room. I say, "Hey, where's so and so?" He goes, "Oh, he left." Oof. I'm like, what? I look down, and now I'm just like, what the heck happened? I look down at my calendar. I booked it for next Wednesday.
Okay. And I called him a donkey.
And Chris called me.
I said, bro, you are the
idiot.
Worst. Yes.
It was so bad. And you know me, I'm getting riled up. I'm thinking.
Does he not know?
But like, what's funny,
I got places to be.
But what's funny is... he probably saw me and thought, I'm trying out a different barber. When I'm not trying out a different barber, I thought you were going to cut my hair. So he daps me up. He leaves. He's probably thinking, oh, man, I thought I had a new client. And I'm thinking, yo, you about to cut me up or not? And he's gone.
That's devastating.
He's gone. So I had to share that one with you. Yeah. I was tripping. Okay.
You're also leaving out that you were going to get a haircut this morning as well.
And I was going to get a haircut this morning as well. And I said, hey, Chris,
dang,
is it cool if I,
early,
if I come in a little, is it cool if I come in a little late, if I get this haircut? And then I say, you know what, man, just disregard everything I'm saying. I have physical therapy at the same. My calendar.
He's so bad.
My scheduling has just been awful.
It's like an hour of just like, bro, this man,
and
Alan,
I'm just blowing Chris.
Ruin.
I'm just blowing Chris's phone up. Aww. And he's probably thinking, what are
like,
you, what are you going through, man?
I don't know how I can help you, man. I don't know how I can help you.
Okay, so this leads into my second story. And both of you are dog owners, okay?
Yes.
And I never had a dog growing up. You know, I have two cats.
Really? Not a single
no,
dog?
No. My pops was just a no-go.
For sure. Yeah.
And I don't, I, I have a lot of friends that had dogs, right? But I have issues with dog owners at times. Okay.
So they can be obnoxious.
I just want to get your take on this. Okay. So after the haircut that never was, we went off to have some food and some beverages, and we brought baby Styles. We're all hanging. Just the three of us are hanging out. And there is where we go. It's a spot in the area where we go. First of all, there's a sign that says no dogs. Okay. And we get food from the food truck. We're having our beverages. There's a sign that says no dogs. And there are about three dogs just hanging around outside. Okay, not a big deal.
It happens, but yeah.
And then, you know, my wife explains to me, hey, I think they mean no dogs on the grass, sure. So they don't do their business on the grass. There were dogs on the grass anyway. Okay, there's a guy who comes around, right? And he comes around, he's got a beverage in his hand, he's on his phone, and he has a basset hound. You know, not a very scary looking dog, but that's not the point. So the first time the dog comes around, and the dog is kind of in our stuff, right? Okay. Like just sniffing
just
around.
Sniffing around.
And
yeah.
My way of saying that we're not interested, if you will, is just by I'm still on my phone. The dog is right at our table,
the dog, right?
But we're clearly just like avoiding. I don't know you. Right. I don't know the dog. There's plenty of dog people out there.
Yes,
go find them. Right? This is all in the span of 40 minutes. So he comes out the first time, and I just kind of ignore. Let the dog, you know, do his thing.
Sure.
Don't pet it. Don't do anything. The guy kind of does a loop, you know, goes back inside. Second time he comes out again, right? And still same idea. And again, this is within 30, 40 minutes. And the dog's not pooping or anything like that. It's just kind of hanging out. So after the second time, I get up to get the food. And the second time he came out, I said, the second time he came out, I was just like, oh, hello, like under my breath. And he just didn't, there's no eye contact, there's anything. Your dog is just sniffing the stroller and and under the table and things like that. So then something switches in Allen. As I'm getting up to get the food, I start thinking,
Jim Allen,
is this guy like challenging me? Is he?
Oh, you did
not. No, in my mind.
This man testing my manhood.
In my mind, is this guy, okay, they don't want to pet my, because everybody else is petting the dog. This guy doesn't want to pet my dog. I'm going to keep doing it until they pet the dog, right? So I get up and I'm grabbing the food and I told my wife, I said, if he comes around again, I'm going to tell him that our baby's allergic. That's what I'm going
to
tell him.
To dogs.
And to dogs. So that was that's the second time.
Sure.
And Chris, this is within 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
So he leaves. He goes out again. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there eating my hush puppies, eating my shrimp.
Puppies,
yeah, exactly. Eating my shrimp, doing things like enjoying our food. He comes out again.
Oh, boy.
He does a big loop. And there are people. He's doing it to everybody.
Yeah.
And he's going under the table. Everybody's petting the dog. Cool. The dog is licking people's face. Do your thing. He comes around again.
Yeah.
And I say, hey, man. Hey, sorry, man. She's allergic. Sorry about. And why am I apologizing? I don't know. Because it's the dog's America.
Sure.
I'm saying, hey, man. Sorry about that. She's allergic. Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me know. No sorry, no anything. The third time, Chris, you can spot a dog person. The third time, second time I ignore your dog when everybody else, the dog is right next to my leg and I'm literally acting like it's invisible. I'm sorry, man. I gotta get that off my chest. Some of you dog owners, you gotta figure it out. Not everybody.
Yes.
You don't need every person in the world to love your dog.
Yes. I was in Target the other day and somebody had they're not like a little cute little, not even a basset hound.
Yeah.
I'm saying a full-blown, like, husky that has, like, a huge coat of hair.
Yeah.
People, I'm right there with you. I mean, I probably don't bring my dog out as much as I should.
Yeah.
But even then, people are towing this line way too much of, is this a public place for my dog? Like, I get worried if I have a Chipotle near my house and I'm like, can I walk my dog into Chipotle,
just do it.
I end up doing it, but even then, I'm like, this 20 seconds of me in this establishment with my dog, I don't know if that's okay. And people are out here
violation,
going,
probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, you know, what if a hair ends up
unless
in the
it
beans?
Is a service dog.
Yeah.
So, I feel like, number one, you're breaking the rules. The dog is on the grass. Yeah. I don't know why the sign is even out. Yeah. Number
no
one.
One's
number two, I'm just like, I just feel like I'm the type of person, if I had a dog, and how much people love dogs. Yeah. Some people, they get so excited, they don't even bother to ask the owner.
Right.
If they can pet it. You brought your dog around three different times, yeah. and homie, we haven't acknowledged
no interest,
it.
Right.
Just keep it pushing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, people treat their dogs like they're their children, and they're very much like, look, like, how are you not going to
but
love
I'm telling
my,
you, Simone,
my baby?
There was some, he just needed
no, he
it.
He lived for it.
He said, you're going to pet my dog. I said, I'm not going to pet your dog.
Some people, like, are trying to, they require that attention. You know what I mean? If I'm making sense.
Simone, he's just licking somebody else's face.
It's terrible. It's
how
terrible.
You need everybody to acknowledge your dog.
My little dinosaur dog lives at home in a couch.
I'm just,
where she belongs.
And look, I posted it on Instagram. I posted all the dogs.
Did you really?
I posted, hold on.
Is it still on?
I posted all the dogs.
See this.
And then I
posted the video, and then I panned to the sign. And after about 5 minutes, and Kayla says, oh, it's not, you know, Alan, I think that's for like on the grass, and some of them weren't on the grass. I deleted it because I didn't want to be shamed. Okay.
And
I
now
deleted
here
it.
We are on the Sporty 1140 sharing the tale.
Because you gotta just know that there could be 15 people in that room and 14 people cannot wait to pet your dog.
Right.
But don't assume everybody wants to pet it.
Right.
And can we just use context clues?
Yeah.
Please.
Right. Have some
I'm
social
just trying
awareness.
To eat a meal with my family.
Yeah. No. That's by far the worst part about dog people is they think that everybody is right there for their dog. No, it's fine.
Dog segment coming
dog
up next.
Segment.
Sounds like Watkins Sackdown. Dog segment and prop talk. This is from Anthony Slater, our guy, Anthony Slater. Draymond Green and Klay Thompson are both out tonight in Portland. Gary Payton II is now questionable with calf tightness. The Warriors will try to beat the 21-58 Blazers without a chunk of their rotation, setting up a huge back-to-back at home tomorrow versus the Pelicans.
We need Chris Murray to step it up.
Yes. But then tomorrow, King's got to take care of business themselves. That's but
true.
Assuming they do, at least you know the Warriors will be a little bit more fresh than they typically would be to hopefully beat the Pelicans, which at that point, and then if the Kings win tomorrow, the sixth seed is not dead.
No, not
but that's
at all.
Still a lot of ifs.
No.
So, and then as far as the Suns piece of this, is it just the Kings would have the tiebreaker, right? Is it basically the Pelicans have the most leeway for six, but the Suns and Kings would have to get hot to get to six?
Yes.
Because they'd have to beat each other.
Yes, exactly. The Pelicans have the inside track. I mean, if the Pelicans win today, they clinch the six. And if they lose,
yeah,
that's
what if
when
they
thing,
lose?
If they lose, things start getting interesting. They still would have the inside track for six.
Because of the and they have the tiebreaker on the Kings.
They have the tiebreaker on the Kings. The Pelicans need to lose out, essentially, in order to not get that six seed, and the Kings would have to win the rest of their games in order to be put into the six seed. I believe if Phoenix wins two of their last three and New Orleans loses two of their last three, then I think Phoenix gets it. It gets a little bit confusing, which is why, especially at this point, it's just easier to kind of take it day by day. But for the most part, I mean, if for all the Kings fans out there, who you know, you just need to win. That is the easiest path of getting the highest seed possible is win. Even then, nothing is guaranteed. But if you win out, you're putting yourself in a really, really good chance of somehow, some way, still getting that sixth seed. It's not likely, but you know, if you win today, you bring that positive momentum into tomorrow. Phoenix just struggled mightily with the Clippers team and then barely beat a Bones Highland-led Clippers team. So they're very, very vulnerable. It's not crazy. It's just not likely.
No, it's not crazy. I'm just looking here at Western. So the Kings are 2.5 games back of the sixth seed, the Pelicans. So if they win tonight, that pulls them within 1.5 games. And then if the Pelicans lose and the Kings win again, that's still a half game.
Right.
And honestly, I'm afraid that the Lakers – so Pelicans have Kings, Warriors, then Lakers. The Lakers, if they don't have any – who knows what the Lakers may or may not to play for.
Yeah.
So the Lakers could throw it and then – because then at that point, wouldn't that just make the Kings tied – even if they win out?
So Jason and Dave were explaining this morning, which I am not going to get into, but there is a less than zero or a much greater than 0% chance that this thing ends in a four-way tie. And that is an absolute nightmare, which I do not have enough information on right now to help people out. But I know that there is a possibility that this thing ends up going to a three or four-way tie, and it ends up coming down to in-division record. Because, funny enough, the four teams that would be tied would be all of the Pacific Division besides the Clippers who won it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would end up going to division winner. And funny enough, the Kings have the advantage, and I think they would get – the 7 seed if there is a 4-way tie. But again, that's a really, really messy situation, which we'll cross that bridge if we need to.
Got
to
win tonight.
Have to win
tonight. For any of it to matter.
Yes, all right.
Prop talk. Let's get it.
You know, I would imagine there's got to be some good props out there because they're looking for, you know, they want you to parlay things with golf.
So that's right.
I would assume that they got as much things as possible. And I'm actually looking here at one of the apps. Keon Ellis is the most popular pick.
It's number one.
For his over 9.5 points.
With a demon.
Because people are now being awoken after Keon had that 28-pointer the other day. I'm not going to go with that because if you look at his other games, it's a lot under 10 points. But still thought it was interesting that Keon is the most popular pick for his points over right now. I haven't picked anything out yet. Have you? Simone, do you have anything?
Yeah,
Simone, if you have something, feel free.
Let's get the big dog back in there. On Domantas Sabonis. I'm seeing 22.5 rebounds and assists. I'm just going to take the over on that.
I just got to tell you guys right now. I mean, this is just getting crazy here. The Black Falcon, Harrison Barnes is down to 9.5. You got to take that. You have to take that. And I'm taking it.
So HB has this. You said 9.5?
9.5.
He's got the same number as Keon Ellis.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Well, it's where we're at.
You have to know how crazy you sound right now.
I'm taking it.
I like it. Let's see here. I got to look at this list. I see my guy Trey Lyles has made the board. I like that. Davion Mitchell is on the board. 8.5 points. Let's see here. You know what? We've talked about this number being huge in the past. It hasn't played a factor here recently. Hasn't gotten over this number 6 since April 4th against the Knicks. I'm going to go with De'Aaron over 6 assists tonight.
Okay.
Because it's going to be on everybody to hit their shots, whether it be from the perimeter or not. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a lot of De'Aaron Fox attacking, and hopefully hitting those spray threes or just hitting open teammates, and hopefully they can hit open looks. So I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox assist over 6 flat.
I like that.
So we're going to go 6 assists, and then, yeah, I think the number was the Kings are 24-4 or something like that this season when De'Aaron has when he has 7 assists or more. So definitely looking at that number if the Kings are going to win tonight.
There you
tonight.
Go.
Wow, Kings favored by 1.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something.
Don't
that
like that.
Definitely something.
Don't like
lose
that.
Lose to a team 4 times.
Yeah, I don't like that favorite. In
Las Vegas finds a way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that in the slightest.
Where is he
All
been?
Right. 916-339-1140. Text line, call line, Sack Chat. It's time for the dog segment.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. I'll start it off. Why not? We'll get this thing started. And it's a big dog kind of day. And I'm picking the guy who's killed the Pelicans his entire career. I'm going with De'Aaron Fox, man. They need a real superstar performance out of De'Aaron today. Biggest game of the season. you know that the Pelicans are going to try and play upset alert. They probably look at this 4-0, possibly 5-0, as a really big mark. If you can beat a team five times, that's proof that you're a really, really good team. You're going to have a lot of confidence in these last couple games if you can get the win. And you can pretty much secure your sixth spot if you get the dub. Kings need their big dog tonight, De'Aaron Fox. Put it on the board.
Okay. Okay.
Let me sneak in here real quick before things start happening, before the drive guys get underway. I would love to go ahead and admire how Keegan got his groove back tonight.
Wow.
Love it.
Keegan Murray. All right. And I'm doubling down. You think I'm playing?
Wow.
You think I'm... Where
You're
is
a
he?
Lunatic.
Where is he? Hold on.
We're trying
I'm going
to
get
him. We're trying to find him. That's the problem.
You think
look
I'm
at
playing?
He was just hiding.
You think we're playing here?
He just disappeared. That's weird.
You think we're playing games? Harrison Barnes?
He's just looking at me.
Please stand up. Look at him.
He's just like
look
staring
at, him.
At me.
Look at him.
Hey, how's it going?
It's Harrison Barnes time. All right? I'm not going to say it again. Okay. Harrison Barnes, my
you
dog.
You don't have many more games to say it in. So.
And I'm going to keep saying it until the season ends.
It might be soon.
And I'm going to be right eventually.
You might not be.
I'm going to be right eventually.
Okay, we'll hope.
Curtis Hicks. Davion Mitchell is his dog. If he continues to just shoot the way he's been shooting, one of these days it's going to end in a W. It has to end with a W. Brandon Deitzman, I'm going to go with Fox tonight. We need to get this dub, and it's going to depend on Fox being aggressive from first possession. Get that floater game going and let the 3-and-D boys do their work. I like that. I like that. We have from the 510, Trey Lyles. Shout out to the Trey Bays. There you go. Also from the 209, another De'Aaron Fox. From the 916, Sabonis will have a bounce back game. I mean, that's 19. He averages 19. Averages 19 against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Hasn't resulted in W's, but tonight it will. John Williams.
Hopefully.
Fox is my dog. They need it, man.
They desperately
what
need it.
What do you think happens tonight? Deep down in your soul.
I think that we're going to see like a really hustle-forward kind of game from the Kings. Like, I think it is going to – I think this might actually be the first playoff game they play. I think the intensity is going to be there. There's obviously a lot of familiarity between these two teams. Already played four times. It's been a while, but I think that both of – especially the Kings have had this circled on their calendar for a while. They have to get some form of get back against these guys. I actually think it's going to be a close game. I'm going to give advantage Kings. I'm going to give the advantage Kings because if not, I mean, you know, the season's over. So you got to go all in at this point. Hustle. I want to see people diving
50-50
on the floor.
Balls,
yes, that's
right?
What I want to see.
I've been saying these last, honestly, I've been saying for the last four games, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do believe the Kings will beat the Pelicans. And I'm sticking to it. You got to look yourself. And hold on here. You got to look yourself in the mirror. And you got to say, we don't grind like that to shine like this. When we're doing work and nobody is with us. The media ain't there. Okay? The boys ain't there. You work hard for nights like this. What are you prepared to do to stay out of that 9-10 and to possibly stay in the 6? That's what we're talking about, Kings. That's what we're talking about. You look your brother in the eye and you say, if not now, then when? Trey Lyles, you look De'Aaron Fox in the eye. You say, there's nobody on this court better than you. You look Keegan Murray in the eye and say, you're one of the youngest, best players in the game. You get it done. And tonight, the Kings will get it done. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Simone, outstanding job as always. Continue the Masters coverage. Thank you again. Styles and Watkins, you have the drive guys up next, getting you ready for Kings Pelicans. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the Pelicans beam.